It's Tim Seymour, portfolio manager of the Amplify Seymour Cannabis ETF, ticker CNBS, your ticket to investing in the exciting high-growth cannabis sector. And this is the Cannabis Weekly, where we focus investors in on the news, moving the sector, and our approach to investing across it. Our ETF, CNBS, is an active ETF strategy focusing on the most important themes and sector trends we believe investors should want exposure to as cannabis markets continue to grow and evolve. Being active means we're able to invest across real time around these developments rather than waiting for rebalancing. I am Tim Seymour, and I've been investing in the cannabis sector from its early stages and combine that with my experience as a portfolio manager in emerging markets and one who invests in new asset classes. The Cannabis Weekly will focus you, the investor, in on the market itself, week-over-week performance, earnings, M&A, to the macro, the legislative landscape, and the macro trends that dominate this industry. And finally, our portfolio, CNBS, and our approach to asset allocation. And this is the Cannabis Weekly for the week of March 7th. And as we look back on last week, it was another difficult week for cannabis assets trading to fresh lows. While the world is horrified by the actions in Russia, Ukraine, and while that doesn't affect cannabis consumption trends in the U.S., it doesn't affect the growth dynamics or even the concerns around margins and multiples in the U.S., it certainly affects how the asset class trades. We talk about this all the time, that cannabis as a less liquid, higher multiple, yes, higher multiple, higher risk asset class is going to be more vulnerable during a period of elevated volatility for global markets. VIX north of 30 for the longest period that we've seen since the lows really of COVID and before that, cannabis markets also less liquid and more vulnerable to some of the shocks of markets. So let's quickly talk about the moves last week and some of the five-day moves across the sector. Underperforming Curaleaf, which had numbers, we'll talk about those numbers, down 18.2. GTI down just over 12%, also with numbers. We're going to go through those numbers as well. Tilray down 12.1, GrowGen down 10.1, Cresco down 9.4, TerrAscend down 7.3, and on down. Actually, some outperformers. MaryMed was flat, and it's really, you know, been one of the better performers in the second tier. Weedmaps down 1.6% and continuing to have decent sentiment and some upgrades off of earnings 2 weeks ago. If you look at some of the debt securities out there or the stocks you can own to own exposure to hard credit lending in the space, the Silver Spike, BDC, AFC Gamma, Chicago Atlantic, these were all actually up small. Chicago Atlantic up a little over 3% on a five-day. So here we are. Earnings, we're here. Let's talk about this. There's some M&A. Where are we? If you look at the earnings profile of two of the most important companies in the sector, GTI and Curaleaf, no major surprises. First, GTI, 4Q21 revs up 4% sequentially, slightly ahead of expectations, but margins under some pressure, some price compression, and gross margin fell 260 bips sequentially. Adjusted EBITDA margin was down about 350 basis points, but management continues to talk up gross margins above 50%, and I believe that that's a case where we're going to see some of the newer states that GTI is well positioned in are going to be high margin states. We are seeing price compression in some of the more mature states, and that's a theme that exists around cannabis. It's the practical reality of where we're seeing this. If you look at Curaleaf, total revenues of $320 million for the fourth quarter, missed small consensus, but there was an increase on adjusted EBITDA, slightly better than consensus at 79.7 versus consensus of 77, a margin of 24.6, which is actually up from where they were in the third quarter by almost actually a little over 400 basis points. Management stressed guidance for 22, which actually came in 1.4 to 1.5 billion on sales and EBITDA margins of 28% for the year, which were decent. But if you look at where Curaleaf is trading, and it gets back to, you know, is this a high multiple sector? Well, not really, and certainly not relative to the growth, although the last few quarters have not shown growth. And I think a lot of companies are pointing out that growth doesn't really come back until the second half of the year. But Curaleaf's trading inside of 3x year-end 2022 sales of, call it, $1.45 billion if we take the middle point between their guide. More earnings coming next week, more focus on margins, more focus on price compression in a world where higher promotional activity, a emboldened illicit market, and a growing illicit market continue to pressure the sector. We're actually going to give you some data on where we see some of the numbers coming through on the states, but quickly into the macro. Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, who has been in the news over the last 6 months talking about her bill, the States Reform Act, claiming that there is a scheduled hearing on her bill coming, and that she's confident that there is support on both sides of the aisle. Again, remember, we've passed States Act and federal legalization in the House multiple times. The question remains on the Senate whether there is support, and there's some sense that there's more support than ever. We shall see. In Maryland, senators began formal consideration of two bills to legalize cannabis, one that would put reform on the November ballot as a referendum, and the Senate Finance Committee hearing is actually coming less than a week after the House had passed its own legalization package. So let's see. But again, state by state, this story gets better and better for cannabis. Finally, on the data, on the states, on really where the industry is, let's dig in. January BDS data, on the surface, not great, but not bad when you look bigger picture, also where we're coming from, really the lows of the fall, but two-year growth rates and three-month averages sequentially are starting to show a little bit of a consolidation and a boost. If you look at the two-year numbers, again, they're obviously very impressive across even California, up 6%, Arizona up 22%, et cetera. If you look at the three-month data, not great. And certainly, as you went through the January data from December to January, we were down 10% across the board in most states, even some of the more exciting ones. In fact, maybe in Michigan and in Illinois, even more disappointing when those have been very strong markets. But trends we're seeing and hearing from companies in the first couple of weeks of December are actually pretty encouraging. So let's talk about CMBS. The portfolio down 6.4% on a five-day. A couple of things within the portfolio, and the M&A that we talked about is front and center here in Canada, where we have been expecting consolidation. So the big announcement last week is Tilray and Hexo have announced a strategic partnership. Tilray will assume a little more than $200 million in Hexo debt, and ultimately will clean up that balance sheet with some cost savings and some synergies. Remember, the synergies around Aphria Tilray were also part of the excitement in that deal. Why do you think this deal takes place now? I think it's a combination. You've had management changes at Hexo. You've had Tilray's continued to I think, increase market share north of the border, but look for ways to grow without necessarily having to commit to the optionality deals in the U.S. upon federal legalization. And we know Tilray has been making acquisitions in the spirits sector and in complementary brands. And I think this deal, though, really is about becoming bigger in Canada and becoming a bigger force in North America. So we'll talk more about that deal, I'm sure, next week. In the meantime, I want to encourage everyone to have a great week and be safe out there. This is the Cannabis Weekly for the week of March 7th. I'm Tim Seymour. Take care.